thinking about that, praising God for it, how he takes care of everything. And we've been talking, or we had talked about in the past, we mentioned the idea of God wants to know what you want. And you say, well, how important is that? Ask Sonnet. Yeah. Black sunroof. You know, if you weren't here, out in the parking lot is a Volkswagen. What color do you think it would be? And what do you think is in the roof? He wants to give us the desire of our hearts. He wants us to ask, because then we'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it came from his hand. You know, because no one else knew that. You know, no one knew. We didn't say, well, we can't give her the boomerang van because it's not black. I mean, we can put a sunroof in it. I mean, Lord knows that. Jay did that to his hood a couple weeks ago. Yeah, that's not hard. Yeah. But God wants us to know, and we talked about when Jesus met the blind man, here he was blind, and he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And God said, turns to him, a blind man, and he says, ask what seems to be a dumb question, what do you want? What do you want? He wants us to tell him what he wants, or what we want. Why? So that when we get it, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it came from his hand. In her wildest dreams, I don't believe, coming to church last week, she might have thought something was up. But she didn't know what. She just thought a friend needed help. And God says, what? Sonnet, what do you want? See, Richard thought that about me when God says, what do you want? And I said, Dakota, quad cab. Yeah. And he said, why would they? It doesn't matter. What matters is, what do you want? And we said, the question is, you need to answer for yourself, what is it that you want? What is it that you really want? How do you want God revealed? And how do you want to reveal God to others? That's one question. And we want to look at another question this morning. But before we do, let's bow our heads. Father, we just come to you, Father, on our spot on the golf ball, and just praise your name for caring so much about us. That you, Father, you take time out of your busy schedule of keeping, Father, all those stars and the entire universe just in order to ask that question. What do we want? Father, we know what Jesus would say. His request was that they may be one as we are one. So, Father, as we come to this place, we know human words and human wisdom falls so far short, Father. So annihilate the servant, resurrect yourself, your Son, and your Spirit, so that your Son might be lifted up, enabling your Spirit to be poured out, causing you to be glorified. Accomplish that, Father. Because you've promised it, accomplish it, and we receive it. Amen. Jesus had just finished his Well, the actual Lord's Prayer. We had covered that a while back. Not our Father. That's more a model prayer than the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer would be a prayer that he prayed. And in John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. You know, where he says, I pray for those who you gave me. I don't pray for everybody, but I pray for those who you gave me. That's in John chapter 17. And he says in that prayer that they, those whom you gave me will be protected. And he, so that is the Lord's Prayer. And he says in 22, in the glory which you gave me, I have given to them. Think about that, people. The glory which the Father gave to Jesus, Jesus has given to us, his church, a church of one. That they may be one as we are one. That's the desire of his heart. And so he asked that question. Then in chapter 18, it says, when Jesus had finished his prayer, when he had spoken these things, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Think about this. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry and throughout his ministry, there are phrases like, as his custom was. As his custom was. There are people who think tradition can be bad, and it may be, some just isn't. But Judas knew Jesus well enough to know where he would be when the going gets tough. Do people know you well enough to know where you're going to be when the going gets tough? Do they know they'll find you in your prayer closet? Jesus' prayer closet happened to be this garden. And the disciples knew it. It says Judas knew where Jesus was going to be. How did he know? Because Jesus told him what was going to happen. He had finished what we call the Last Supper, the instituting of what we call communion. That was finished. He told them what was lying ahead. So Judas knew exactly where Jesus was going to go. And you'll find the church of Acts, that's what happens. See, when things are going to get tough, the church was always found in prayer. Ministries are never birthed out of board meetings. Ministries are birthed in prayer sessions. That's where ministries are birthed. See, the reason Ground Zero Wired for Christ is such an effective ministry is because of his prayer closet, not because of our board meetings. The reason you had a great chrysalis wasn't because of your meetings. It was because of your prayer closet. And so Judas knows something big is going to happen. And so where is Jesus going to be? It says Judas knew exactly. He didn't tell Judas from here, I'm going to go to my prayer closet. He never told Judas that. You can't find that in Scripture. But it does say Judas knew where to find him. Because that's what where the church belongs. The church belongs in prayer. When things are going good, we need to be praying and praising God. The reason we begin every service the way we do is because we want to be obedient. The old trust and obey railroad, you know, T and O, the two tracks, trust and O, obey there, T and O. And so he says, enter my gates with thanksgiving and come into my courts with praise. It doesn't say enter my gates with request and come into my courts with all your ailments. Why? Because by his stripes you have been healed. So we've got that out of the way. Now, when you come, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I want to thank God this week. Apartments rented. House rented. Dad's here to help with the basement. Now, I have a t-shirt or a sweatshirt, Don, that says, it's not an empty nest until all their stuff is out of your basement. But the idea of this trusting, you know, Judas knows, it says, and then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now, I don't know how dumb that seemed to him at the time. But he had seen Jesus. Judas was in the boat when Jesus stood up and said, peace, be still. If you were Judas, what kind of weapon would you have? And you better bring extra ammo. What was he thinking? Well, he evidently wasn't. But they came with weapons. The priest had heard him say, Lazarus, come forth. What kind of weapon are you going to bring against that? Guys, get your weapons. Torches I can understand because you have to see the way. And they had no light. Because it says, if they speak not according to these, there is no light in them. They had no light. So they needed artificial light, like many churches. Artificial light. So they needed this artificial light so they could do what they the church had planned to do. This isn't something that just happened overnight. This is something that had been planned for years. They knew what they were going against. They were on the hillside when they ate fish and loaves. They were there when the paralytic by the pool of Bethesda came and was pronounced healed. They were there when the lepers, 10 lepers came. He said, go, show yourself to the priest. This is a man who speaks and leprosy leaves. This is a man who the centurions said, you don't have to come to my house. Speak your word only and my servant will be healed. They knew who they were up against. What kind of weapon do you bring? Jesus, therefore, in verse 4, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, this is the question you need to ask yourself. Who are you seeking? Who are you seeking? See, as we enter the season the church world calls Lent, and you can have theological discussions on whether that's good, bad, or indifferent. I don't care, but it's a season the whole Christian world turns their attention toward. Who are you seeking? Are you seeking Jesus, upon whom human weapons can work? Huh. whom are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, stood also with them. Not with Jesus. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell down. Get the scene here, people. You are looking at an army. They have their weapons, and their weapons become useless in the presence of the I am. The message in this is, who are you seeking? Who are you seeking? Who are you looking for? Are you looking for a God that human weapons such as depression, human weapons such as recession, human weapons such as criticism and finances can overcome? Whom are you seeking? Whom are you seeking? In the world in which we live, never in history has it been more true than now that we have to answer this question. Are we seeking a Jesus who can be controlled and seized by human hands and human attitudes, or a Jesus who says, I am, and every weapon that can be brought against him falls to the ground? Who are you seeking? What kind of Jesus do you seek? We saw last week, one of my favorite star was Canis Majors, the big dog. Yeah, the big dog star. Yeah. When you see that, see, the whole purpose of last week was to say that God was the same God who handed a title and a key over. Same God. Canis Major is the God of black with a sunroof. He's able. Who are you seeking? The reason we do testimonies is so that you can know that God says, I am the same yesterday, I am the same today, and guess what? Tomorrow I'm going to be the same. We think that way. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. He thinks, I am the God of now. Because I only live in the now. There never was a time when I wasn't, and there will never be a time when I am not. I am now. What is it you need? What do you want? What you want depends on whom do you seek. That's what's going to depend, what it's going to depend on. It says, they drew back and fell to the ground. Every weapon became useless. Then he asked them again. See, this is where and how I know dumb is not illegal. Because I would have said a way of escape. When he says, whom are you seeking? A way of escape. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. We are seeking the one who speaks to the widow of Nain's son, and he gets up off his deathbed, out of the funeral procession. We are seeking the one who the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment and the blood stopped. We are seeking the one who took the sack lunch and fed 5,000 plus people. Jesus doesn't say, I am he again. He says, I have told you. How many times do I have to tell you? I am the one you seek. You are seeking something you cannot defeat. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. He just prayed that, remember, in 17, that I won't lose one. He just prayed it in the chapter before, and it's fulfilled. See, he made that request. I don't believe it's a request. He's God. He speaks and it stands fast. Let these go. They didn't want to let them go. We know that because they kept arresting them afterwards. They didn't want to. I've got all of them. I have him and all. I have his entire army surrounded here. And we have weapons. Hopefully they'll forget that we fell down dead when he said, I am. But, you know, they probably will. They're the church. They forget the way Jesus works that quick. He does something 1 minute. We forget about it the next time we need him. He says, that it might be fulfilled, that those you gave me. See, I don't believe it was just the 11. I believe by that time, let's face it, you walk through town with an army, there's ambulance chasers. There were others there. There were others besides the disciples. It wasn't just the soldiers. The ambulance chasers were there too. And I believe some of them got out. Let them go. Just let them go. And that's when Simon Peter took out his sword, because what the church forgets, see, they can see the sword. And he's standing next to Jesus. Told you the church forgets that quick. Jesus said, I am. They back off, drop their weapons, and fall down. What was that? 2 seconds before? Or, as we learned last week, 50 million cells or 50,000 cells ago? Every 3 seconds? 50,000 seconds ago, or 50 million... Simon then pulls out his sword. Did he not just see what Jesus did? Simply was saying, I am. How could he forget that quick? And he struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said, right on, Peter. At least somebody's standing up for me. When I need a backup, you other 10, Judas was over there kissing me. You're behind me. But Peter stood up for me. That's not what he says. Put your sword into your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? God is enough, Peter. My Father's enough. If I can trust my Father, can't you? Peter, you have to learn. You have to learn to trust my Father. The question you need to answer, because Peter was going to change a few billion cells down the road after the resurrection. Peter was going to make a life change. But for now, that question was for him too. Peter, whom do you seek? See, I don't seek a God I have to protect or defend. I seek a God who doesn't need me. I seek a God that I need. Whom do you seek? A God who without you, ministry couldn't take place? Or a God who allows you the privilege of doing ministry? He doesn't need us. We need him. Whom do you seek? What is it that you want? And whom do you seek? Everybody's going through something. Whom do you seek? A God that is able? If you don't believe God is able, please talk to Sonic. Yeah. Please. A fellow talked to me this week. And he asked me, he said, why would God put me through this? 43 years old, truck driver, lost his license through a DUI, lost his job, and was coming to us for food. And he said, why would God do this to me? And I don't know, I was thinking God did not bless this man, otherwise Dwayne would have already been here. And I said, what? He said, why did God do this to me? I said, did God get you drunk? He said, what do you mean? I said, what's your part in this? Until you recognize your part in this, God can't bless you. He may be able to, but he won't. What is your part in this? Well, I got a DUI. Did you not know you were a truck driver? Why, I had been driving for 25 years. So you knew you were a truck driver. Yes. Okay. Did you know you can't drink and drive? Well, yes, but somebody else was drunker than I was, and I was just trying to help them. Oh, so you're the Good Samaritan. What is your part in this? God didn't do this to you. You did this to you. What God is doing is providing you food each week. That's what God's doing to you. God made the storehouse so you could get food because you weren't smart enough after 25 years. I didn't tell him that. I should have. To know that you shouldn't drink and drive. You should, at 25 years, you should know. You should know. But I wasn't driving my truck at the time. But you need your license. I only need $800 to get my license back. My question to him was, do you still drink? I have. And I said, then why should God give you your license back? Why should he give you $800? I said, I know he's able to get $800. That's not a problem. He said, how do you know that? I said, oh, trust me. I know. I know. I should have said, and drive, get down to McDonald's. Oh, that's right, you can't drive. Walk down to McDonald's and ask Sonic. He's able. What you need is a God who is able. Whom do you seek? He wanted a God that can rescue him and him stay the same. I keep wanting to do what I do. I enjoy it. Fine. Peter was going to make a change and come to the place where he realized, put down my weapons. I seek Jesus of Nazareth. Whom do you seek? As we begin this Lenten season, this Easter season, this first day of the rest of our life, we need to ask ourselves, what is our God able to do? What does he want to do? And what kind of God do we seek? Next week, you will be blown away. You will be blown away by our guest speaker. Because you have no idea what God does inside of you. You know, that they may be one as we are one. We're talking about Calvary this week. Do you remember the picture that was on the screen in the black hole? That was not put in that black hole. That is the actual picture from the Hubble telescope. They didn't superimpose the cross into the black hole. That is the actual picture from the Hubble telescope. Next week, we're going to go from the telescope to the microscope. And you will be blown away by what God, whom do you seek? God in you? It blew me away when I saw it. I don't know what you'll be doing next week, what your plans are, but cancel. You need to see how much God loves you. How, when he says that they may be one as we are one, he actually means it. And you'll see it with your own eyes. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we think about whom do we seek? We live in a world that seems like it's going crazy. Politics and politicians, Father, all look the same anymore. The future, from a secular outpoint, Father, is bleak. So we ask the question, whom do we seek? I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Whom do we seek? Whom do we seek? Somebody who hears, Father, whether it's uttered or not, the desire of our heart. Alice asked one time, does God answer prayers you don't say out loud? And I believe he does. Yes. Father, we know he does. We had it witnessed for us just last week. And next week, we're going to see even more of it. Oh, Father. No wonder Jesus asked them and brings us down to this day and this age, and ask us, each and every one of us. He knows why we're here. Because this is where we think we need to be. But while here, in our garden experience, he asks us, whom do you seek? Father, our weapons are useless in your presence. Our intelligence, Father, is useless against the mind of Christ. Father, let us see you as never before, and let us submit to you in such a way that we will take accountability, Father, for the fact that we've blown it, and then we will cast it upon him, for he careth for us. Father, we don't want to be like Peter and forget what happened 3 seconds ago and pull out our sword and go into battle when we're standing next to the God of the universe, a star-breathing God. Oh, Father, bring us to the place of submission, that we may be one as he is one. Father, accomplish that, because you've promised it. Next week you will reveal it, Father, that we are actually one with the Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for this privilege we have to serve. Thank you. In Jesus' name we thank you. Through the Spirit's power we thank you. And for the Father's glory we thank you. Amen. Whom do you seek? This is who you can seek. Someone who says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," says the Lord. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope." Whom do you seek? When you make that decision, then you will call upon me. And then you will go and pray to me. And then I will listen to you. And then you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.